This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
2 seconds, gets free. The runner, it's good. Trae Young curling and scoring on the run.
Look, we lost the game by 2 points. At the end of three quarters, we were in a good spot. We didn't close the third quarter.
I want to see Julius Randle come out early, gets off to a good start.
I'm not making no excuses. I got to be better. I will be better. I'll just leave it at that.
And if you get the all-star, most improved player in the league version of Julius in game two, then you're probably talking about a different result.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, DCR with you, 98.7 ESPN. The show is always presented by Progressive Insurance. Some vindication for me, by the way, guys. The Yankees have never had a combined no-hitter. That guy that hung up midstream was incorrect with his answer.
I was looking for it the entire time.
It didn't exist.
No, I mean, there was a no-hitter in 1917, but it wasn't a combined no-hitter.
And it wasn't the Yankees.
Yeah, I don't listen. Maybe that's why he hung up.
You think that he had such conviction the entire way through, and then as he was about to give the final answer, he's like, oh, my God, I'm wrong. Let me just quickly hang up. It was bizarre the way he hung up.
It sounded like he just shut his phone down.
Yeah, he had an emergency, and he just decided he was going to go ahead and hang up.
Yeah, I'm not here anymore. All right, Monica McNutt will join us in just a moment to break down the Knicks and the I mean, this is a. I'm very nervous about this game tonight. Because I'm telling you why. If they lose this game, and I know we joked about it before, Islanders or Knicks or what's more important, fine, whatever. If the Knicks lose this game tonight, the season is over. And knowing that could happen has me on the edge of my seat all day today.
I think every Knicks fan probably feels the same way you feel right now. Because I don't think anyone wants it to be over, right? I mean, that's the thing for me is I don't want this ride to end. And I know it's not over. I mean, there's still, you know, games to be played. But, I mean, there was a real hope that, you know, once they locked up this 4 seed, going up against the Hawks team, it's been a different team under Nate McMillan. And they're a talented team. But you felt like because of home court advantage and everything else, now all of a sudden you got 15,000 screaming fans that the Knicks would find a way to pull this one off. And you're right. They go down 0-2, headed to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Not that I'm intimidated by Atlanta. Like, the crowd in Atlanta.
No, but winning 4 out of 5 against Atlanta is intimidating.
Yeah, but it's a good team, and Trae Young's a really good player.
Mike Breenwalt, Clyde Frazier will be on the call for Game 2 on MSG Network, 7:30 tonight, with pregame coverage getting underway at 7 o'clock. Following the game, MSG Networks will have an expanded one-hour postgame show. Monica McNutt will be part of the Knicks studio coverage throughout the night, as well as appear on MSG PM immediately after the post game. Let's bring her in. First time on the show. Good morning, Monica. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. I'm well. How are y'all?
We're nervous, Monica. We're very, very anxious. We're very, very nervous for the game tonight at 7:30 at the Garden. Outside of or is it this simple? I was going to say, outside of the obvious that Julius Randle has to play better, what else has to happen for the Knicks to find their way to a win tonight?
Well, you guys were kind of talking about the head honcho that we got to slow down, and that would be Trae Young. I'm looking for a little bit more creativity in terms of slowing him, whether that's traps, whether that's somebody else coming off the ball. I think that's one thing I'm looking at. But then Julius obviously was a big headliner, guys. But we also got, you know, Reggie Bullock didn't necessarily have a great game either. And I think there's some little things that can be tweaked as a unit. While the bench was terrific, don't get me wrong, the starters got to give you a little bit more production overall, though. But I feel you on the nerves, but I would take a deep breath. I think we're going to see why Tom Thibodeau is in the running for Coach of the Year tonight.
Monica, so we take call after call, and I think the three of us on the show think that, you know, obviously Julius Randle getting going, finding a way to at least slow down Trae Young. Don't let it, you know, be so easy for him to get in the paint, collapse your defense. But we take a ton of phone calls on, you know, Elfrid Payton has to sit. They need to, you know, start Derrick Rose, whoever it is. What would you do with the starting five?
I'm not going to start D Rose. He hasn't started all year. I mean, now if he gets in the game 2 minutes in, then whatever. But I'm not going to shake that up there. I would leave the starting five as is. And I think you got to leave room to make adjustments. Guys like listen, the nature of a series is to punch and counterpunch, right? And what I will say about game one is I think that Atlanta played closer to their ceiling in terms of best basketball easily. The Knicks didn't, right? And so I think there's room to respond there. We talked about Trey, but really when you think about the last 2 minutes of that ball game, that three ball by Bogdanovich, I mean, that was really, to me, that was one of the bigger daggers in the waning moments of that game. So I'm not going to do a bunch of different things now, right? Like, there's a reason that this team earned the four seed, is one of the better teams defensively all season. When you talk about from two or from three, like, now is not the time, to me, to get out of character. Now, are we going to tweak and make adjustments? Sure. But I'm not jumping up and down about the starting lineup right now. Like, we know that moving forward, point guard is a position that we're all eyeballing. But for now, we got to work with what we are. We are who we are.
Monica, one of my observations from game one is that the Knicks really didn't make Trae Young work on the defensive side. I mean, he was essentially just camped out in the corner with Reggie Bullock and not really active. I felt like that's one of the ways that they should try to approach game two, is by involving him in a little more actions on the defensive side of things. Do you see it the same way?
I mean, I think that's a great observation, but you know Nate McMillan is going to protect him. And that's why I said, like, Julius didn't get going, and Julius has averaged 6 assists all year long. I would almost be willing to bet the two of them over the course of the season per game go to Reggie, and Reggie was really quiet yesterday. So, I mean, it was easy for Trey to kind of hide. The bigger thing to me, and Alan Hahn mentioned this on our show, that maybe you let him take that three, Trey, that is, you let him shoot that three because that percentage has been lower this year. But he has to be guarding somebody that creates action. And we love Reggie, but he's our 3-and-D guy. And so if that's how McMillan hides him, all of a sudden I don't want Reggie running a bunch of pick and rolls just for the sake of taking advantage of that. Like, that's out of character too. So I think to that end, though, offensively, more ball movement, a little bit more creativity. I love what Alec Burks gave us in terms of that 27. But like I said, there were some folks that we usually get a little bit more from that we didn't. And again, shout out to the bench. But what does that look like in game two?
Monica McNutt joins us here, 98.7 ESPN. You can watch her after the Knicks game tonight on MSG. We haven't talked about this a lot, Monica. Nerlens Noel left the game one, ankle injury. Couple of part question here. Do you think he plays tonight? And if, God forbid, he doesn't, I mean, what happens there for the Knicks and their bigs?
Well, I do think he plays tonight. I think, knock on wood, say your prayers, all that good stuff. All right, it's the playoffs. I mean, it's do or die time, unless that's a serious grade strain, which I hope it's not. I haven't heard. I do think that he plays tonight. But, you know, and I hate to hit us with sports cliches, guys, but it becomes the next man up. And then that, to me, is a really tall task. Off the top of my mind, I'm thinking Obi then becomes important in terms of some minutes at that spot. Obviously, that puts a ton of pressure on Taj as well. Gosh, I'm just going to go with he's going to play. I'm going to go with he's going to play.
All right, we'll go with that.
From your lips to God's ears, Monica, let me ask you, were you surprised at all? I mean, you heard Julius, you know, over the last, you know, couple days since game one talk about how, you know, maybe, you know, emotionally with the crowd and everything else, it was a lot in his first playoff game. Were you surprised how well IQ and Obi dealt with their first playoff experience?
Oh, 100%. But we love it. I mean, I think Obi in particular, right? Like, he's had a little bit more challenging learning curve, we'll call it. But I think sometimes the beauty of youth, right? You don't know what you're not supposed to do. And IQ flame throwing. I mean, there was one of those threes, at least one, if not both of them. I was kind of like, ooh, okay, sure. But I think that a chance to see the glimpse of the promise for those guys. And I think while everybody is looking forward to fans being back in the building, for rookies, it's probably a little bit different in that truly was their first. You know what I mean? So I think that they handled the moment incredibly well. But then you think about what they did in terms of how they were able to energize. Like, they played their brand of basketball. They weren't, you know what I'm saying, out of character. I think when Obi can get a dunk off that beautiful, I can't remember who gave the assist, but he's on the left side of the basket and gets that dunk with his right hand. That's quintessentially Obi, like, while we were all salivating over him in the draft. And so they were able to do things that really instilled confidence in them, and they let it fly, and I love that for them.
Monica, I want to ask you about the team across town. It looks like the Nets are about to break out the broom for the Seas. Based on what you saw this weekend from Eastern Conference playoff teams, who's the biggest challenge for Brooklyn to get to the NBA Finals?
Oh, it looks like it's going to be the Bucks. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't overly impressed with the idea of Giannis as a three-point shooter, but, I mean, Bryn Forbes as a emerging as a stepbrother to the Splash Brothers, I mean, it's crazy. I think Drew Holiday just has put everybody in the right position when you look at that spot. Statistically, it doesn't bear out that Chris Middleton has been more productive this year, but it feels that way just because he hasn't had to make as many plays. So I think it's definitely looking like the Bucks to me.
All right, Monica, we appreciate a couple minutes. Hopefully you bring good luck to the Knicks tonight and we get the win and it's 1-1 and then we can settle down going to Atlanta.
No pressure. I hope so, though, too. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, we greatly appreciate it. I don't know. She says don't be so nervous.
It's the definition of pressure. The definition of pressure.
Very nervous about this one. Guests on DCR, including Monica, appear via the Goodyear hotline. If I knew her better, I would have asked her this. Did you hear the constant clicking going on there?
Yeah.
What do you think that might have been?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I thought initially it was like the blinker, like when you tell, like if she was driving when you turn.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a lot. Like that's a lot of, unless she's just
a lot of
like
turns.
She's just swerving through streets.
Or maybe she pulled over and had the hazards on.
Oh, see, that's a good call right there, Christopher.
Over hazards on.
Or it could have been that guy that drove me and Alan that one time and never stopped. And was singing and crying.
She sounded so calm.
And he was singing and crying at the same time.
I can't believe you didn't say, like, excuse me, sir, can you pull over, please?
Someone is at the top of their lungs singing, once I was 7 years old, and not stopping. Not a person.
Tears, weeping.
This is not a person that you ask that you interrupt and say, can we please pull over? We didn't stop one time.
Did you think about jumping out just at like a slow portion of the drive?
The problem was there was no slow portion of the drive.
I would have had a nervous breakdown.
I pretended to be, I just closed my eyes and tried to fall asleep.
Fall asleep?
I had to do something. I was a dude, I'm telling you. It was one of those moments. Because then he started going like back roads. And me and Han looked at each other like, is this it for us?
This bone collector situation?
Yes. Is this it?
Now, were you concerned you were going to be taken? Or you thought that he was just going to crash into a tree?
I don't know, be taken, like, I mean, my organs, you know, black marketed, I don't know, whatever it was. Like, I wake up in a tub with no kidney, like, something was going on.
Good luck.
Oh, that's
dude was crying, singing his heart out, bawling, speeding around.
What, excuse me, sir, what's wrong?
Dude, no stop signs, no speed limit, they just, like, as if he was the only car on the road, jamming. I did not ask him what was wrong.
But how does you falling asleep help the situation?
I wanted to pretend. I was hoping that when I closed my eyes, somehow I would fall asleep and I would just wake up.
Dead.
Like, miraculously, I would wake up and I would be somewhere.
It would be over.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so what's your night now tonight? Both of you. You're gonna have an early dinner, Chris, or are you gonna eat as the games are going on, or how you gonna work this tonight?
Yeah, I'm gonna have dinner around 6:30, and then kind of get locked in as the 7 o'clock hour approaches. You know, check out the pregame stuff, and yeah, I'll get focused in on the basketball game. Yeah, that's how I'll do it, Dave.
Now you always have like a bizarrely early dinner, right, Rick?
Well, that's not bizarrely early.
Well, you eat it's like 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
that's early.
Well, I mean it's 5:30. I mean we got to put the baby to bed. So he eats, the kids go to bed, and I mean 7:30.
Multiple cream cheeses?
They're tired. I got to spread it out, too. I don't want to go, I want to go dinner right to all of a sudden now they got to eat dessert.
Oh, you guys have a full dessert every night?
They have, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, we made them.
Like a dessert course? Do you bring out a tray of like, okay, this is.
No, not a tray. No. No, they got good options, though. I mean, we'll make them.
Hammer, saw. Maybe pear, maybe not. I'm not sure.
I made them cheesecake bars.
Really?
Yeah, that was a menu item this week. Then we just made them s'mores cookies last night. Ella's big into the ice cream, so occasionally we'll go with the goulagosh ice cream. She loves
a little hot fudge sundae. Is that ever an option?
Oh yeah, whatever. Yeah, I mean they like the whipped cream, sprinkles. Big with the sprinkles.
Nice
marshmallow. Terrific. They love. Oh my god, marshmallow.
So dessert will happen. Prior to the Islanders game tonight, right?
Oh yeah, well before the Islanders game. Yeah.
At 6:30, you're locked in Islanders. Now, what's your TV setup? You don't have four TVs, do you?
I wish. No, I had three.
Three. So you're going Islanders on one, Knicks on the second, Mets on the third or Yankees on the third?
I'll have Islanders on the big one to start, and then I'll throw – then we'll switch to Knicks will be – Knicks will be front and center. I got to hear Breen and Clyde.
Oh, of course.
Watching the Knicks game. I don't really need – like the hockey, I'm not – I don't necessarily need – like I like having the commentary. I don't need it. But Knicks will be front and center. I mean, this is
– God. There's a lot to handle tonight. A lot to handle.
Hey, I mean, you said when you put your head on the pillow, like, oh, what are the chances you sleep tonight?
I'm going to sleep tonight.
No, barely.
If the Knicks lose tonight, I'm going to be it's going to be one of those, like, tossing and turning kind of awful sleep nights. But if the Knicks win, I mean, they play, what, 7:30?
Mm-hmm.
Be done around 10? I'll be feeling great. By 10:30, I'll be getting Z's. I'll be fast asleep. But if they lose,
no.
It's going to be one of those, ugh.
If they win, you're going to be so amped up, you'll have a hard time putting yourself to sleep.
By,
you want to celebrate for a minute. You'll feel frisky. Maybe give Sherry the little poke on the shoulder like, hey.
Really? You think?
Like,
you know, we haven't had playoff moments in a very long time.
You've been growing out your beard. Put it to use.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So, you know what? You bring up
it's
a good
years.
Idea. It's been 8 years.
Yeah.
And if she says no, I say it's been 8 years. We have to.
Yeah, exactly right. Maybe right. Throw on a Knicks. I mean, have her throw on a Knicks jersey, maybe.
They sent me beautiful stuff yesterday, by the way.
Dude,
did you guys get
this? Yeah. How about this? Yeah, beautiful delivery. Thanks to the Knicks, too. How about this? So, I wasn't here when it was dropped off. So, I got the text message that something was being dropped off. So, I'm about to pull up into my driveway. But there's an Amazon, there's a delivery truck in the driveway. So, I watch him walk from the truck with like one tiny little, like, it wasn't like a big box or anything. Like one little envelope or whatever it was to the door.
It wasn't an envelope. Like, it was a hat and a jersey.
No. It was dropped off. It was already, the Knicks package was already dropped off. It was in a beautiful Knicks bag, right?
Yeah.
At my door. I got the text message. It was dropped off, right? What I'm saying is when I got back to the house to get home, like I hadn't got the package yet. It was at the door still. There was an Amazon truck in my driveway, so I couldn't pull up.
Okay.
So I'm waiting for the Amazon driver to leave. I see him get out of the truck with said package, whatever it was he was delivering. Now, I see him walk to the door. Now, it's like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 30 seconds.
Was he rifling through your stuff?
He was going through. Yeah, he was going through the
Wait a minute. Hang on a second. The guy was going through your package that was there from another delivery person?
It was, yeah, because it was open. It was just a Knicks. It was a Knicks bag with the stuff inside of it. And I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing? Like, he's not coming back to the truck.
It would be great if he was like trying it on for size. Like,
can you imagine that if I see him drive by and he's got the Andre Barrett jersey on?
Go New York, go New York, go.
Yes. Go Knicks.
Yes. That's funny.
So we got Knicks packages going out to everybody except me. Is that right? Is that what's happening?
Special order, I bet the size.
Yeah, yours has to be specially made, I think.
Okay. I'm kind of feeling a way about that.
I got a beautiful T-shirt. I got an R.J. Barrett jersey and a Knicks hat. And I was very pleased to get all of it.
And Rico?
That's all you got?
Rico?
What, you got more than that?
Yeah, I got a beautiful sweatshirt.
In addition to what I just mentioned?
Yeah, I got a Barrett jersey. I got a Quickly jersey. I got a T-shirt, a hat, and then a beautiful sweatshirt.
Now, hang on a moment. Although I should let Chris go crazy here because you got six items. I got three.
And I got
Chris
none.
Got nothing.
Yeah, listen, I don't know what you're going to tell you. That's what I got.
That's not your fault. It's just, I mean, they're showing their true colors. Now, maybe because you're not a Knicks fan, you got nothing, Chris?
Yeah, Dave, but I'm not a Jets fan, and the Jets thought enough to give me a new jersey when they switched up their uniforms. I'm just saying, I like swag bags, too.
Yeah, we love them. I mean, maybe they had nine items to give away, and they said, we like Rick the most, we'll give him six. We like Rothenberg half as much as Rick, we'll give him three, and we can't stand Chris, we'll give him nothing.
Okay, all right.
I mean, right. I don't know. It's a possibility, no? Yeah,
I feel a way about it.
I would, too.
As the only champion on this show, I feel a way that the Knicks wouldn't think enough of me to be able to give
you
some swag.
I'm telling you how much I defend you. You got nothing. I feel badly. I got three to his six, and I'm upset by that.
Yeah, I'm not saying you shouldn't be upset, Dave. I'm just saying I can't believe that I was left out of all of this.
I don't
blame
you.
You got gift bags being thrown around everywhere, and they just decide they're not going to give me anything.
Now, if you walk home today after the show, and you have a Trae Young jersey and a Hawks hat and a Hawks towel waiting there for you, can you be bought? Can you be swayed in the series?
Yes, I can, Dave. Yes, I can. Because I feel a way about it. Like, I'm sitting there rooting for the Knicks, and I'm right there in it with Knicks fans. Like, we watch all of the games throughout the season. Like, I feel like I'm invested in this team, even though I'm not a fan of this team. And so for them to leave me out of the swag bag situation, I just turn all of a sudden in game two and start rooting for the Hawks.
I wouldn't blame you. And the Hawks should really seize this opportunity. They see that there's a free agent out there, and they should send you lots of stuff and get you, because they don't have a lot of fans. They should try to get you.
They don't have a lot of fans?
I've never had more respect for the Knicks, though, Dave. Never. Never had more respect. They know Canty's not a fan. They said, you know what?
But still.
He ain't getting a swag bag.
Why?
He's not a fan. That's all. I mean, that has to be what it is.
Well, why'd you get six and I got three?
I can't answer that question.
Uh-huh.
Well, because I know you like the Knicks, but you like giving the Giants as your team.
You just chose the Islanders over the Knicks tonight.
You did.
Well, I played for the Islanders, though. You never played for the – I mean, you haven't played for any of these teams.
Well, the Giants aren't sending me stuff.
The Giants – I mean, I've seen – I mean, you had a beautiful Giants starter jacket in your
Yeah, Carl Banks sent over
to me. Don't feel bad, Dave. I played for the team. They don't let me in the building. So.
Yeah, Chris is the one in the building.
Don't feel bad.
Chris, none of the professional teams like you.
Uh-oh.
That's not good. Let's go to John in Auburn. John, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing, guys? You hear me?
Yeah,
oh,
we hear you.
John, what's going on, bud?
Yeah, how you doing? So I think listening to your debate on who would you rather win tonight's game, Islanders or Knicks, I think what Rick is taking the question the wrong way, because obviously everybody loves both teams, wants both teams to win. But the scenario is, what's the best scenario for both teams to win? The best scenario for both teams to win, 100%, would be have the Knicks win today, Islanders win a game seven.
Yeah, but you're just assuming – but, John, you're assuming that the Islanders go into Pittsburgh and win game seven.
No, but I took the question that Dave's saying as, what's the best way for both teams to win?
No, I said, what would you prefer happens tonight? The Knicks win or the Islanders win? And he chose the Islanders to win.
Yeah, and in the end case, the end scenario on that would be both teams winning, because obviously everybody wants both teams to advance. The best way for both teams to advance would be the Knicks win tonight and the Islanders win game seven.
Yeah, but it's also but now all of a sudden you leave the possibility that both teams end up losing the series too. I'm eliminating one of the possibilities.
You're eliminating one of the possibilities, and you're almost guaranteeing that the Knicks would be done in four games or
almost, five. But not guaranteeing it.
Not guaranteeing that the Islanders would be done either.
Yeah, but the only way I have 100% certainty is if the Islanders win. There's a very slim chance that they come back from down.
Here's what I will say. I was vehemently opposed to your take to start. And I've softened it a little bit. But I also, on that take, think that your fanatical like lunacy when you were making your original points was a bit over the top.
Well, no, because I don't think you were hearing me. Because now all of a sudden you sat back and
hearing you.
Well, no, because you emotionally were invested in your
question.
If
there's anyone on the show that doesn't hear another, it's you that doesn't hear me when I come up with the interesting trade ideas.
Speaking of which, you want Aaron Rodgers to stay in Green Bay? You trade for Julio Jones. That keeps him in Green Bay.
Yeah, you know what? Did
you hear that Teddy Bruschi had that too?
Yeah, I'm sure he stole it from you who stole it from me. Right? it's third generation stealing is what you have right there.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Well, I got a very disturbing text during the commercial break. Why are you laughing?
Because RJ just told me what the text was.
From my wife. Been cleaning up puke/diarrhea for more than an hour. I'll be mopping now. Good times. Great. Just great. Well, I don't know. Honestly, why would you be laughing?
I'm not even joking. I'm not making this up. When I went downstairs during that break, my daughter just full court pressed me for a dog. I need to have a dog. I can't
have
a turtle.
Two?
I can't have a fish. I need a dog.
Yeah, I can give you two. Two white labs.
You're going to cave, Rico.
No.
You're going to get the dog. You are going to
You know what I'm going to do?
Sammy!
For you,
It's going to be just like Rothenberg.
Because I'm a good friend. Every time she does that to you, talk to me, and I will tell you about, I walked him yesterday, he tried to eat a tree. Okay? Because it's like, you know, the guys are like, well, why are they always sick? Because they eat anything. Grass, leaves, rocks, trees, anything. They will put it in their mouths and they will eat it.
Does he try to pee on everything too? Like the entire walk? Like even when he has no pee
eat
left?
Eat it! Eat it! Yes, there are moments of that. Now, the lawn is completely discolored now.
Oh.
It's phenomenal planning. Phenomenal what we've done here.
If one is good, I mean, two should be better, right?
One would think, but it hasn't panned out like that up to this point. Speaking of not panning out the way you hoped it would, the Packers, Matt LaFleur, the head coach, he says, listen to how sad he sounds in these sound bites. We want Aaron Rodgers back in the building.
Aaron definitely knows how we feel about him, how he's such an important part to our football team, such an important part to our organization. And, you know, we're just going to continue to try to work through this and hopefully can get him back in the building at some point.
All right, so he sounds kind of defeated in that one. Take a listen to this one, Matt LaFleur. How does Jordan Love look so far?
You can tell he put some work in this offseason on his own. I think the ball is really jumping out of his hands well right now. And, you know, it's day two of OTAs, and, you know, all we've really done is thrown routes on air. We had some 7-on-7, but you guys could see that the team periods, they're not full speed. So we're excited about just some of the progress we've seen with him, but certainly there's a long way to go there.
He sounds thrilled. We're excited about the progress we've seen from him. Baby, come back.
You saw the wide receivers didn't show up either, right?
No, none of them.
It's a real. This is a dangerous game right now.
How's this going to end? How's this
not well? Not well. If Jordan Love can't play, and then you got, I mean, Blake Bortles. I mean, Chris has been in these locker rooms. I mean, how many times we talk about it all the time too? Like, right? It's like when Chris and I were beating the drum for Pat Mahomes when he was a rookie to play. It's because Chris was hearing it, I was hearing it, like, Pat Mahomes in practice looks ridiculous. And guys in that locker room start talking, like, Alex Smith is good, but can you imagine what this offense would look like with someone like Pat Mahomes? What do you think those conversations are right now? We go from being in the NFC Championship game back-to-back years, quarterback's the MVP, to all of a sudden now you pissed him off to the point where he doesn't want to come back, and we're going to get stuck with this?
Yeah, I mean, there's no chance that Jordan Love is, I mean, I'm not going to say no chance, but there's a slim chance that Jordan Love is going to be anything close to what Aaron Rodgers is. That's just what it, Aaron Rodgers is arguably the most gifted quarterback we've ever seen in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. So that's the bar that Jordan Love has to clear. And if that's what everybody around the organization is comparing him to, then yeah, it's going to fall short a little bit. But that being said, I mean, this is one of those situations where the front office and the team president, Mark Murphy, they're the ones that have got to try to make this relationship right with Aaron Rodgers. It's not going to be Matt LaFleur's responsibility. There's only so much that Matt LaFleur can do. And even A-Rod came out and said, like, he's got a good relationship with his teammates and the coaches. Like, this is about the front office and the organization showing him the respect that he feels like he deserves.
There are people who take the Packers side. Like, I mean, you've heard a couple different people say that, you know, the quarterbacks are being divas and everything else.
Those people would be wrong.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I don't see it that way at all.
Yeah, those people would be wrong.
Like, the guy, I mean, first of all, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, he didn't play for 3 years, right?
Right.
And I get, I mean, he's 37. But now, I don't want to compare him to Brady because that just could be, you know, Tom Brady ends up being the anomaly. But there's no reason to believe that Aaron Rodgers, after what you saw last year, can't play at least until his early 40s, right?
Yeah, you would think. I mean, okay. He was as good as he's ever been last season.
Coming off an NFC Championship game where your defense is trash. So that, clearly that needs some help. That needs some work. You don't tell me you trade up to get a quarterback? Like, what does that say? Like, what does that say to me about how you think this is going to end for me in Green Bay? Like, you're pretty much, you're telling me you think I'm almost past it. Like, my best days are behind me,
yep,
is what you're
right.
telling me.
That's exactly what they thought. And they made a grievous mistake, and now they're going to have to deal with it. And I don't know how it's going to play out. I really don't. I don't know if he ever takes another snap with Green Bay.
Yeah, see, I think he does go back to Green Bay.
You think he goes back this year?
I think he does, yeah. I don't see Aaron Rodgers getting traded this offseason to another team. Now, I think the picture will become a lot clearer as we move closer to that June 1st date. I mean, I can't believe it. It's next week. But, I mean, I think we'll start to hear some more stuff come out as to the teams that would be interested and how real the possibility of him being traded actually is. But I think Aaron Rodgers wants to have that storybook ending, man. And listening to former wide receivers, guys that played with him, none of them have said that the relationship is irreparable. Like they're all saying that, like, these things can be fixed. Like, Devontae Adams said it. James Jones said it. Like, those guys are really close to him. And if they're coming out and saying that, then I got to believe that there's something that the organization do to kind of put a Band-Aid on this thing and see how long they can ride this out.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I
don't know either.
No, because I can't. I don't know how. Like, even, you know, I heard Keyshawn yesterday. Like, I mean, you have a chance to, you know, reset the organization moving forward because you get all these draft picks and players if you trade them to Denver and everything else. Okay, you can do that, but we still don't know if Jordan Love can play. I mean, that's one of the bigger obstacles. And then all of a sudden, I got to go watch Aaron Rodgers go to a team like Denver, whoever it ends up being, and playing at the level we saw last year.
If Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver right now, who do you take to win the AFC?
I think Denver's right there. I think
they're right there.
I mean, yeah,
their defense is really good.
Defense is good. I mean, but
they have weapons.
Have you seen what Kansas City has done to their offensive line lately?
Yep.
Yeah, Kansas City is still a. Still the class of the conference.
I just don't know. Like, this is, and then I heard yesterday too. I was reading some stuff too that, I mean, when Aaron Rodgers said, you know, saw Jordan Love play a little bit, he's like, oh, I got at least a couple years left here.
Played on 52, and then maybe he'll take over. 800-919-3776. So KJZ going to start with the Nets, get into the Knicks, and guess who they have, Rick, at 8:10 this morning.
Ooh. Give me a hint.
He did not receive a bag from the Knicks.
Ah, Christopher Canty.
That's right. Chris Canty will be on KJZ at 8:10.
Nice.
Yeah.
KJZ action.
Just a little bit. A little bit.
Maybe they'll ask you if Jordan Love should play if Aaron Rodgers is still on the team.
Good line of questioning.
Yeah.
Good line of questioning. All right. 800-919-3776. Let's go to... Let's go to Jack in the car. Good morning, Jack. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm sure you guys have briefly talked about it, but on Sunday night, I was at the Knicks game sitting in my seat, and I hear all these young, energetic Knicks fans like myself start chanting fighting words at Trae Young. And I turn to my dad sitting right next to me, and he just says, we'll never learn, son. And I looked at him. I was confused. And he goes, yeah, we did the same thing back to Rick.
Yeah, they did it to Miller. They did it to Jordan. Yeah, they've done it forever. But that's what you're always going to do. You're always going to go after the biggest, brightest star on the other team, right? You're not going to go after Danilo Gallinari. Now you're going to go after Trae Young.
Yeah, but I think the caller's point. I mean, that's, you know, some players who thrive under those circumstances, and it feels like Trae Young wants all of it.
Yeah. He doesn't feel. He doesn't.
Like, see, that's the thing with fans sometimes, and it feels good in the moment to do stuff like that. Like, but you try to explain this a lot. Like, oh, it feels good to boo Giancarlo Stanton. Well, it doesn't. You're not helping him, so you're not. But what you're trying to do is not going to work. And then when you're, you know, saying F Trae Young, I don't know if that's affecting him much.
Well, it didn't seem like it had any negative impact the other day.
I think he actually likes it.
Yeah, I think he did as well.
But you know, Trae, if you don't play basketball the right way. Hawks don't fly like that.
Such a cornball.
Oh, no.
Such a cornball. I don't even know why he came out and said that. It's absolutely
Knicks fan,
ridiculous.
He's a Nets fan.
He's a fraud is what he is.
Well, he's got a lot of swag, though. I mean, teams are sending him stuff.
That's a good point. I heard right? He actually got multiple. He got 8 to 10 items, I heard, in his swag bag.
So he got 8 to 10. You got 6. I got 3. Chris got nothing. Because it all went to de Blasio. He got everything.
I guess I'll just have to let my Super Bowl win console me.
Yeah, I think you should. Let's go to Dave in Queens. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for thank Progressive Insurance for sponsoring your show.
Yes. No, we're going to make a call right after and thank them. Yes.
All right. Thanks, guys. Yes. My thing is, I used to work seriously with clinically insane people, and I can decipher what they say. And I love Omar. I'm not saying that. But can I just say what I think?
Yeah, well, here's what I'd like. I'd like. Now, I don't think Omar's clinically insane, by the way, if that's what you're
thinking. No, I'm not saying that. I've been with the best.
Dave, let's be quiet for a second. Let's let the guys play the soundbite, and then you can tell us what he's saying.
Sure.
What did he say?
Okay. That came as clear as day to me, guys. He said, make him go to the left or whatever the hell you gotta.
You know, it's not terrible.
That's not terrible at all.
It's not terrible.
I would buy that. I would buy what he just said. That's pretty good.
That's not bad. No, I don't know what
that is. I want to finish him off.
See, now that's a party trick. Whatever the hell you got to.
See, that's a party trick. You going on tour with the Stump Rothenberg after today's performance, I don't see it. I don't see it happen.
Well, I mean, I get questions that didn't have legitimate answers. The Yankees didn't have a combined no-hitter, so how am I supposed to play in Stump Rothenberg if that's the case?
Like, you give me the option, you know, that last caller, a guy who can make balloon animals, or you and Stump Rothenberg. I mean, you're probably at the bottom of the
list. If you can decipher anything that's said and turn it into an actual sentence, yes, that's quite a party trick.
Dude, my grandfather was famous for he could speak. No, seriously.
No, I don't know where you're going, but my grandfather was famous is just a great way to start a sentence. Continue.
He could speak, and it didn't matter what the language was, as fast as, like, almost as if he knew what you were going to say before you even said it. No, I'm dead serious.
Like, and he was famous for this.
Yeah, he was on television.
Wait, you're telling us this now?
I think I've said that before.
Chris, did you know this?
No, I never heard this story before.
Like, you had a
mind-reading grandfather?
This is news to me.
Yeah.
See, I don't even know if it was mind-reading, but you wouldn't be able to tell. Like, it was so fast that you wouldn't be able to tell that he didn't know what you were saying. Like, he could repeat it as fast as it was coming out of your mouth.
How is that possible?
He was on, God, I wish I knew the show. My dad will probably tweet, but probably text me.
Ed Sullivan.
No, I think it was the hidden camera, was like one of those, like, hidden camera shows. Because they would do it to people, like unassuming people, and he could just repeat, like he would have them all confused because he was just repeating it as they spoke as fast as they were saying it.
Did do you think your grandfather could have deciphered this?
Good Thursday morning. A lot to get into today. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. I think I would have screwed him up because I don't think he would have been going faster than I was actually saying.
I don't think he could have helped you out there.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
I think of all the drops we have, that's my favorite one.
You know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
That's so good.
Oh my gosh. Flat
top, that thing with the muffins and the donuts, the Danishes,
because I got a mango in my mouth.
What do they call that thing?
It felt wrong when I said counter, though, Dave.
Because it was so easy.
It was like,
you know when you go to a diner and you can sit up by the flat top? What is that called?
The counter?
Counter?
Yeah, the counter.
You can hear Chris in our voices. Like, we almost feel embarrassed. Like, you mean the counter? Yeah, the counter, right. That's what I'm talking about, guys. Oh, boy. That was
well described,
Steve in
though.
The car. Steve, good morning. You're on 98.7.
How you doing, guys? Just want to tell you, great show. And Chris, I don't know what you did, but I got a swag bag, and I'm a Nets fan. I don't know what's going on here.
I can't call it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Said nothing but glowing things about the Knicks all year long.
All
come
year
playoff
long.
Time, they leave me out of the swag bag giveaway.
Not right. You got to say something.
I've been saying something.
Really nothing like getting free
the
stuff,
entire
is 7 it, Dave?
O'clock hour, Steve.
Oh, no.
Ridiculous.
I was wearing the hat around the house yesterday. Beautiful
I do
t-shirt.
Like it. I mean, free stuff is, I mean, what's nicer than that?
It's great. And I didn't know it was coming either. Like, it just showed up.
Tuesday? Just shows right up?
It really made the day.
I probably got more stuff. If that Amazon driver didn't steal stuff, I probably got, you know, 8-10 items.
There's an Amazon driver going around Long Island decked out in Knicks gear right now, yes.
By the way, he was on Candid Camera is what he was on.
Really?
Candid Camera. That's almost just missed the cut for the Ed Sullivan show.
So he was a big deal.
What'd you just say? RJ was in my ear.
I said he was a big deal, your grandfather.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Like, I saw, my dad showed me one of the videos, like, you would never even know. And it didn't matter the language. Like, you wouldn't know that
so
he was...
So he was multilingual, and he could know what you were saying before you said it, or as you were saying it.
But it wasn't even that he was multilingual. It's just, like, he, for some reason, like, it was, I don't know if it was a gift or whatever it was. Like, he could speak as fast as you were speaking. Like, with the exact words, too, which was crazy.
It sounds like a wild thing to bring to a party.
I don't even know how you like,
don't know how to
come up with that.
This,
like, realize that you had that ability.
Yeah. Kind
of just to be able to repeat people what people are saying, like, right as they're saying it.
As they're saying it.
Yeah, that's...
It's crazy.
It's kind of creepy, actually.
Well, but just think about that, though, how frustrated, like, if someone, no, but seriously, like, if someone, like, how frustrated you get if someone, like, repeats everything that you say back to you?
I would think if you're a little kid and they do that, that you would probably have a meltdown.
Yeah, but now all of a sudden, it's as you're saying it, he's repeating it. Like, he's in your head?
In other languages. Forget about Rosetta Stone. Grandpa DiPietro will just repeat it before you even say it. Let's go to Kirk in Huntington. Good morning, Kirk.
Hey, guys. What's up? Love the show. Pure entertainment every morning. You guys have some of the most delusional fans, though, in the world. You guys, too. I mean, I've seen this show too many times and been on this ride too many times. Both Knicks and the Islanders are going to lose. And it's
why would you even put that into the atmosphere, Kirk, that the Knicks and the Islanders would
lose? You're a Huntington
tonight.
Guy, too. I mean, you're not, all of a sudden, you're not an Islander fan either?
No, I'm a transfer from Massachusetts, so I'm a
Bruins fan?
Fan all around. Yeah,
we're from Massachusetts.
Fan, so I just
have you heard of Rick's grandfather?
I haven't.
No.
Kirk, where in Massachusetts are you from?
Amherst.
Ugh.
So, I've been watching you guys for a long time. So, I know how the show goes.
Right, so, Kirk, this is what it comes down to. You're afraid. You're afraid of the Islanders is what it comes down to. Is that you're nervous and you want it to go to Game 7 to try to wear them out.
I mean, they're going to get worn out no matter what.
Oh, here we go.
Islanders.
This is
how it goes.
Yeah, hey, listen, he's the conference finals last year, buddy.
Crashing down at
here we go.
Spiraling out of control.
I can't wait till they win tonight, and then that Matt Martin just runs Marshawn right through the glass. That'll make me happy.
Well, it's an important game for you tonight. More important than the Knicks, obviously.
Multiple important games tonight. Multiple.
Oof.
This is a lot. This is going to be a lot.
This is a lot. Are you going to sleep at all tonight?
No.
You think you'll be up all night long?
I mean, there's a good chance. I mean, I got all these games. I got an open to write. I mean,
when do you work on the open for the show tomorrow? You have to wait till after the games are over, no?
Yeah, no, I mean, all day I'll write a couple, you know, different drafts up and see what I keep, what I take out.
Do you have a version of if the Knicks win, this goes in, if the Islanders win, this goes in, if the Mets win, this goes in, and then just, you know, appropriately fine-tune it when those things happen? Or do you just do it once the games are over?
No, I fine-tune. I mean, and then you got to focus on what the most important, you know, story is going to be. I mean, Knicks win, tomorrow's show is Knicks.
Yes, but you'll get the Islanders in this open.
Oh, I'll get Islanders in. I'll get some world championships. Big win by the U.S. yesterday.
You're not getting the world championships into the...
A big win over Kazakhstan. That's a big win.
They beat Pakistan?
No, Kazakhstan.
Oh, it's not Kazakhstan.
What is it?
Yeah, I don't think it's pronounced like that
Kazakhstan.
Either.
Kazakhstan.
Yeah. Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan.
What?
Big win over Kazakhstan.
What?
Oh, my God. Let's go to Brandon in Orlando. Good morning, Brandon.
Good morning. Hey, guys. Sorry I'm calling a little bit late about this issue of the Islanders versus the Knicks game, which is more important, but I tried dialing 20 times. That's how busy you guys were. But my only thought on this is, what's more of a tougher atmosphere, Atlanta or Pittsburgh in a Game 7? And to me, Pittsburgh in a Game 7 is a lot more tougher of an atmosphere than Atlanta is.
Do you give the Islanders a better chance of winning one Game 7 in Pittsburgh or the Knicks beating the Hawks 4 out of 5 times?
I would say the Knicks, and the only reason is because the Islanders have been very outplayed. I mean, Sorokin saved 48 out of 50 shots, which is incredible. But Rick could maybe answer this more than I could, but is that really sustainable to save 48 out of 50 every time? And in Game 7, that's very... tough, and I would be very scared going back to Pittsburgh with momentum on their side.
Yeah, well, because, I mean, Brandon, you're right, and Dave is wrong. I mean, that's really what it comes. It's that simple, really.
Why'd you
what it comes
to
down
there?
To. I'm just
most
I'm
people
just
have
saying.
Agreed with you outside of the people on the show that you work with every day.
And you agree with me too. No, I mean, and you agree with me too when I put you in the same scenario.
You brought the Giants into it.
Well,
that's the entire narrative.
No, it doesn't. It's the same thing. Your favorite team.
The same thing.
It's your favorite team. You don't trust your team to go into Week 18 and win on the road?
No.
Okay. You got trust issues.
I have major trust issues. All right, Santi, you have a lot to choose from today. Today was quite the show. 3 stars.
Today's
Three stars of DCR. Number three.
You're right. There was a lot to choose from. It was tough to narrow this down. I'm going to start.
You just had Kazakhstan thrown in there late stages.
Kazakhstan. I mean, I could have gone with the dogs. I could have gone with the high seaman.
I'm like the high seaman. I'm running through the wall.
Could have gone with Monica McNutt's name not being able to be pronounced.
Monica. It's not an easy name to say, by the way.
No, it's very easy.
It's easy to say.
Try it.
Monica.
Yes!
No, I'm going to go with our great mayor, the Honorable Bill de Blasio, with a message for Trae Young.
This is about basketball. I have an important official announcement. This is very serious. Want to get this out? Message to Trae Young on behalf of the people of New York City and anyone who cares about actually playing basketball the right way. Stop hunting for fouls, Trae. I want to quote Steve Nash, one of the great player, great coach. He says, quote unquote, that's not basketball. Trae, that hawk's not going to fly in New York City. Come on, play the game the right way. See if you can win. I think the Knicks are going to teach you a lesson.
Something about being mayor in this town that just draws corniness. I don't know what else to add to that.
Number two.
Somebody who adds a lot of fun to the show but is currently on ban right now, Omar. Still not quite sure what that was.
You never win.
I hope he's calling in with good reason tomorrow, and hopefully you guys will be nice and let him on.
I might. If the Knicks win and Omar calls and it's another day of trying to pay his penance, I think I would be willing to let him on the air.
The two of you. No, we can't do it, Dave. We can't do it.
All right, I'm a softie. All right, go ahead.
Number one,
and I appreciate Rick DiPietro sticking to his guns, being out there on the island for the Islanders. Listen, we all want them to win tonight. It doesn't have to be one or the other. If everything goes right tonight, you'll be hearing a lot of...
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
And you won't have to have a Game 7. I'm just saying, like, if the choice came down to it, if I had the Knicks to win tonight or the Islanders, I'm taking the Knicks every time. Hopefully, it doesn't come down to that, and everybody walks away happy, and we have a great, fantabulous open from you tomorrow morning.
Listen, let's hope. Let's hope that's the case, because if both lose, I can't guarantee I'll be on the show.
You're going to be on the show. You're not going to play this game if I'm not going to be on the show. What do you mean we all hope that the Islanders win tonight, by the way, Santiago?
It's good for us. It's good for everybody if the Islanders win, because look how angry Rick got when we even implied that we didn't want the Islanders to win.
Yeah.
Very upset. Blood pressure went through the roof.
I like it. All right, KJZ next. Canty at 8:10. A lot of Knicks, a lot of Nets talk. It's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Hey, everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa. Play ESPN New York 98.7.